Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay. We are talking about, I think, a subject that we all love and are excited about, how to thrift like a pro, how to shop secondhand like a pro. I think younger generations, Gen Z, is really, really into thrifting. It was actually Christina, one of your comments in one of our last episodes about how Gen Z is really thrifting so much more, how shopping secondhand is so much more accepted and it's like a cool thing to do now. So we thought today we would share some of our tips and tricks, where to find the best things, sizing, all these cool things, how to shop vintage versus consignment, because there's like different layers of secondhand. So hopefully we'll get into all of that. I'm going to start off by asking, when did you both start shopping secondhand? Like, what was it? Was it a revelation? Did you have to do it because of like financial reasons? Or was it just like you wanted to get into it because you thought it was cool? When did you start?
For me, I recall starting in university and it's specifically because my friend moved to Toronto and was living in Kensington Market proper in Toronto. So Kensington Market is it's like a really cool eclectic neighborhood in Toronto, and they have a ton of vintage shops, probably more, what's the word I'm looking for when it's like, probably a little bit more gentrified now, where it's like a little bit more expensive. Like, they've kind of figured it out. So the vintage there and the secondhand shopping nowadays is a little bit more high price. But there's just like streets lined with all these vintage cowboy boots and these old mohair cardigans and denim jackets and all that. So because my friend was living there and sort of took me around the neighborhood, that's where it started. And I still have a Levi's vintage trucker jacket from like 15, maybe 20 years ago now, and a pair of cowboy boots that I thrifted in Kensington. So that's when I started. That's when I kind of got into thrifting. And because before that, it was a little like, I remember growing up, like if you had to go shop secondhand, it's like there was this like connotation that you were poor or something, or like you couldn't afford to buy new things. And that, you know, it didn't have the popularity and acceptance that it does now. Yeah.
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 You, Sina?
I actually used to have a secondhand shop. I don't know if you guys know or remember,
I
had a secondhand shop in between 2018 and 2019. I had an online secondhand shop called Linger, which was
I do remember this.
Yeah, so it was something I wanted to try because I've loved secondhand for pretty much as long as I can remember. I just basically wanted to help people realize, I guess, how many amazing things there are out there in the secondhand stores. And I guess I wanted to make it more accessible for people by filtering it. So of course I would try to find specific things that if they had similar style to mine, then they would be able to kind of find that in secondhand versions on my shop. And then I shipped to like most of Europe. It was an incredibly hard business to run one person. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was something I wanted to try and, you know, never say never, maybe sometime in the future again, but definitely not something I'm going to do alone again. Like, it's definitely not a one person job, at least not for me. So I would travel around in Denmark and like handpick stuff at different like markets and consignment
that
stores and stuff
so
added
cool.
to the store.
so cool.
So yeah, it was a really fun project and I learned a lot. And I guess I've for years, like I would say probably for 7 years, I've had this like secondhand first mindset. Mm. Like, I always check out my secondhand options before I buy. And I think it started out as a way for me to be able to do something actively for the environment, like doing better in terms of consuming, like buying secondhand, obviously is a something that will be, you know, not necessarily entirely, but it can be better for the environment and also a great way to save some money. Like when I started, I was kind of, you know, probably when I started buying secondhand, it was like in high school when you start like making your own first money and like you start having control over your own money and how you spent them. And I think at the time it was probably more because it was cheaper to buy clothes that way. So to save some money. Mm-hmm. Whereas today it's a little bit more than that for me, at least. Yeah.
Do you both have a preference on, or like, do you have a first vintage first or consignment or thrift? Like, do you have a preference or it just depends on what you're looking for?
I would say I'm pretty shit at thrifting, to be honest. I don't really go out thrifting too often. I like to, but if I'm looking for secondhand, then I have a few like online shops. Like I really like to shop from Depop. Poshmark, I find I like it, but it's a bit hit and miss in terms of finding what you're looking for. And then there's a few like resellers that I like to buy from if I am shopping for denim or blazers and things like that.
Christina, who are like your favorite denim resellers? Like you have such a great, we've talked about this before. Like
oh, my favorite shout out
to you were like encyclopedic.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I learned it all from Marie. She is at All Vintage Denim. She's at All Vintage Denim on TikTok, on Instagram, and that's her shop. So she is a, it's as far as I know, she's kind of like a one-man show and she is like an expert at all Levi's. I learned everything from her and I love to support her shop. So she is based in LA or just outside of LA and she does pop-ups. So if you're in LA, definitely check her out. But I order online. I haven't ordered in quite a while from her because my collection is like, she's complete almost, but I love, I think she just has a great eye in terms of how to date the denim and like she just has really, really amazing pieces. So I love to support her shop.
Does she like alter them as well or are they just completely as they are?
Yeah, they're as she's now added, she started to put her own tag in them, but she keeps everything else intact. So there's ways that you can authenticate your Levi's, like how you know they're from the 90s or the date that they were made, the style, if they're 501, 505, like all that stuff. So all of that remains intact. But yeah, I love to support her shop. For me, I know sometimes resellers get a bad rep, but I think for me, especially if they're like women owned, POC owned, you know, to me, it's a way that you can support small business. And she's doing great things.
I also love the fact that she doesn't do anything to the designs. Like, because I used to buy like vintage Levi's off ASOS Marketplace, where you can also buy like lots of different vintage Levi's. And my issue was always that people would like the sellers there would state that these are Levi's 501s. But then when I received them, it was clear that they had like taken them in at the side seams and so the fit was no longer like what you wanted it to be. Like I've wasted so much money trying to find a perfect pair of like vintage Levi's jeans because I love vintage Levi's jeans but I've been shying away from it a little bit because I've had so many bad experiences I think until I tried like redone and vintage Levi's, which is ridiculously expensive for a pair.
Yeah, Redone's expensive. Like, I like their model, but it is pricey. And I think a lot of the times they are actually like modern Levi's that they've reworked. So
yeah,
the 501s are not created equal if we're talking about Levi's jeans. Like after once in the early 2000s to present, they have a slightly different fit than your 80s, 90s 501s in particular. So if you can get a pair from the 90s or 80s, that's just like chef's kiss. That's the fit. That's the one that they're talking about.
How about sizing? Like when you buy from All Vintage, like, and how about like returns and stuff? Is that, how does it work?
So their final sale in her case, but so if you're in the thrift shop and you find a pair of jeans, you can try the neck trick. Have you guys heard of that? Mm-hmm. So if you yes. wrap the pair of jeans around your neck and it's not like tight like this, then there's a theory that it should fit you at the waist. Now you can, you know, rise matters, weight distribution matters, but that is a like a quick and dirty hack if you can't try them on. But for me, for measure, I just go by my measurements. So you want to know your waist, your hips, and the rise. So and with vintage denim, I typically find that you'll need to size up. So you know, like on the back of a vintage Levi label, it'll say like W28 and blah, blah, blah. I find that doesn't actually align most of the time. So really just go by your waist measurements. And then I would say like give yourself like an inch or two on top of that, especially if you want to get that like nice, loose, like relaxed kind of fit. So if you're like a size 4, size 6, it may not... like that may not translate with the vintage denim. So just the best is to measure yourself and then look at the measurements of the denim.
And I guess you could, like when it's a small shop like hers, that you could reach out and maybe get some guidance from her. Maybe
Absolutely. Like I've sent her photos of like, oh, I love the way this girl is wearing them. Like, how would you do this in a 501? And she's like, actually, you would want to size up like 3 or 4, even 5 Whoa. Sizes to get that kind of look. Okay. So it's like, I wouldn't have known to do that. I would have maybe sized up 1 or 2, for example. So, or if like, if I'm looking for a pair of jeans, it's like, hey, can you look out for this pair? If you ever come across it, let me know. So it's cool. It's very like, it's very personal, very casual. And I love having those kind of relationships with resellers and shops like that. I think it's like, it's part of the experience and part of what makes it really fun.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
And it also gives you that nice kind of pause and breathing room that you need before wanting something and actually acquiring it, right? Yeah. Like it's – and like you said, it's fun. It's not like you're waiting impatiently. It's an act of hunting and curating. So, yeah.
So I love that. And I feel like – because Alyssa, I feel like you've posted a lot of really great videos exploring a lot of these like European vintage shops. And that's a lot of the like I don't really do a lot of thrifting like that where I go to physical stores just because of like the way my lifestyle and work is. I don't leave the house too much. So I would love to know like how when you're in there in the racks it can feel so overwhelming. Like what's your process? How do you find what you're looking for? Like when you're going thrifting from A to B, like what's your strategy?
It always starts with the list. And I think it depends too. You can get a really good sense of the vibe of the store, right? Like, because that's the cool thing about vintage and secondhand or even thrifting is like every owner, they're their own buyer in a sense. And it's even different from when you go into a boutique and they're the curator of their stuff because they're still kind of beholden to having certain brands or whatever. Whereas thrift and vintage, like you see the personality of the owner coming through. So I start with the list 100%.
So the list and then, is your curated wish list.
Yes. Yeah. My like wish list, things that I need. But also with vintage, I also allow myself a wild card. Like, because you just never know. Like, there's just too many good, interesting things.
I love
how
you allow that little part of yourself to still be part of the...
Because it's such a special, like these pieces are special and it doesn't mean you have to buy them all, but it's, I think you have to kind of allow that wiggle room. But so I have my wish list and then I start, okay, so there's a couple things. If you need shoes, I always start with shoes because, and maybe this seems gross to people. Some people don't buy secondhand shoes. Some people do. But I will, if I see a pair of shoes that I like, I'll put them on. And I'll walk around the store and do the rest of my shopping in those shoes. I know that could be kind of weird. Like normally I only do this at Value Village. Like I wouldn't do this at like a proper thrifty boutique. Depends on the store. Depends on the vibe. Because then you know, like you feel your foot in the shoe. You feel if it's comfortable. And I don't feel like I'm ruining the merchandise because like it's already used. So it's not like I'm putting on a new shoe and like ruining it by walking around the store. So I start with footwear. do that if it's on the list. And then I'll look at like each section, and depending on my list, I go to the section. And I always, like, I have a specific color in mind, so I'll shop either by color, and then I'll just, I won't go through, it depends, every piece, but I'll, like, zone in on the colors. Or if it's, like, a specific hemline, like, if I'm looking at skirts or dresses, you go to the skirt section, and then I just, like, scan the hem until I see the hemline that I want, and then I'll go in. Because it can be really overwhelming.
So you always have something in mind before you're, before you go
always.
In.
Otherwise, it's like, what? It's crazy. It's crazy. Because there's just so many different things. And then again, like, there are some vintage, like, in Rome, I find, and, like, there in Rome, I found there's very, like, specific sections of vintage where it's, like, there might be two or three in a row where all they sell are, like, leather moto jackets.
Ugh,
so, like, delicious. You, Christina, you would have died. Like, really cool, like, leather suede, all vintage secondhand jackets, moto jacket. So, like, you know what you're going to get when you go in there. Do you know what I mean? So you kind of – you can also not waste your time or curate your selection based on – based on that. So that's kind of, I always have something in mind. And then, shopping by section. But then I'll give myself a little extra time to just, like, look around. Usually dresses and coats are my wild cards because feel
the
like
coats are always
coats.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. They don't make them like they do anymore. And, like, I live in Canada. You need coats. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, your coat is the outfit.
Your coat is the outfit for, like, 8 months of the year. So, yeah, coats and dresses, because it's almost opposite. Like, I'm not a dress person, but if I find one that I like, it is the most – it's like the puzzle. Like, it's the most invaluable thing in your closet because then you don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. So those are, like, the wild cards. That's how I do it. Does that make sense? Was that helpful?
Yeah. I love how structured it is.
It's like, it's not fun when you go vintage shopping with me. I'm like, here.
No, I love that. I think it's good to have a plan, and I think it's good to have structure, especially when you're approaching, like, secondhand, and especially if it's new to you and it's something you want to explore. I think it's good to have a plan to not end up getting overwhelmed and being like, okay, this is not for me, because I think it is. Yes. It can be for everyone. You just need to know what to look for and how to go about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And never, like, I never look at, like, I'm sure you guys do this too. Like, I never look at the size on the tag, like, ever. Because you just, every season, it's all about fit. So if I don't feel like trying things on, like, I always shop with a measuring tape. So, like, if I'm too lazy, I'll just measure. But, like, or if you just don't want to go bring it into the change room. But yeah, you have to try stuff on, because sizing changes every year. So like, now they don't even use fit models anymore for some brands. Like, so Sina, what's your process?
I would say it's pretty similar to yours. Like, it also definitely starts with the list, and also because, like I said, I have this secondhand first mantra, if you will. It's like, I always, like, I have one product category where I will, like, jeans, again, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but jeans is, like, the place I'm often struggling in terms of size, and because I'm very, like, specific about how I want my jeans to sit and feel and hang on my body. So, and like I said, I have been playing around with, like, vintage Levi's in the past, and I have found some nice ones every once in a while, and I think maybe I should give it another go, Christina, now that you've mentioned, like, just... like, some of your best tips there. But I've been sticking to, like, buying jeans from new, like, from brands that I already know, and I know their sizing, and I know the quality and how they sit and everything. But then pretty much anything else, I'll buy that. I'll always browse secondhand. I'm curious to hear if you guys prefer online secondhand stores or physical stores. Because I definitely have, like, a habit of browsing online. Like, I will, because you can you can filter more. Yes. Like, you have, especially if you have a, I don't get overwhelmed when I approach a secondhand store, but I feel like that's probably the biggest difference between physical secondhand stores and then online, is that you can filter online and like say, okay, I'm looking for a, like, I just bought like a sage green wool coat for my autumn wardrobe. So, and I knew that this is the color I'm looking for. I don't care what brand. It just, it has to be the right size, the right color, and a great quality. So I would just filter by the color. And you don't get that same.
Yeah, it would take a lot longer. Yeah.
In a physical store.
Yeah.
So I think I prefer online stores to some extent, just because it's easier to filter and you can really find what you're looking for. You can even search for a specific brand. Like, let's say I have I have a bunch of people I follow on YouTube, and I rewatch some of their old fashioned videos from like 5 years ago. And it's like, oh, I love the jacket she's wearing there. I wonder if I can find that in a secondhand version. And then you can just browse out the brand name and maybe even the style name and then be able to find it like that.
Yep. I like that, especially if you're shopping luxury and name brand, because the value of it just plummets for the most part. And I find, especially if the item is like something that was fairly hot and trendy, guaranteed like the next year it's not going to be. But I find, especially if I'm like leaning into a trend, it takes 6 months to a year or more for me to decide if once I want to do buy it. So looking secondhand for those things, I think, is a great option, especially again if it's a higher end brand. So my only thing with shopping online is, like, again, you really got to look at measurements, because I have bought like a comically giant oversized blazer before that would have been too big for my dad, because I just didn't understand sizing and fit and measurements. And like, sometimes the way they photograph the item, especially if it's on a model, it could be like cinched in and like manipulated a little bit. So you really gotta, like, so what I like to do, for example, for blazers, because I recently just got a secondhand Jean-Paul Gaultier blazer from the 90s, which is like so, it's so hot. I love it. Oh my God. Just so cool. But it was in Italian sizing. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. So on this website, they had like a size guide and like even a really useful conversion tool. So it's like, if you're a size this in Italy, then it converts to this in US sizing. But the other thing you can do is, if you're looking for something specific, is if you have a piece already that you know that you like the way it fits, take the measurements from that garment and then see how they compare to the measure. Like, if a secondhand shop measurements, if a secondhand shop doesn't have measurements, I can't gamble with it, because it's
100%.
Like, you need that detail.
Yeah, true. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, and also I think, of course, if it's vintage, you can't really, like, you definitely need to do, but otherwise, like, if it's just a piece of clothing from, like, what brand you already know, that it's likely, then, you know, the chance of you being able to fit it will, of course, be a little bit higher. But yeah, otherwise, you definitely need to do the extra work to make sure. Yeah, because secondhand fashion can be wasteful too, as I think we've talked about before. It's and it does require a little bit more effort.
Are there things that you guys look for in terms of quality? Like, if you're brand new to going through the racks in the store, like, how do you know a good blazer from a bad one? How do you know a good piece of denim from a bad one? A good button or a good thread, seam? Like, are there things that you look for in terms of the feel or the weight, fabric?
Yeah. I feel like the hand feel is so important. I like, that's why I like shopping in real life, because you can touch the fabric. So like, the hand feel is just like, does it feel weighty? Does it feel soft? Does it feel like good in your hands and on your skin? But I think the other thing that I look at too is if the fabric choice makes sense for the garment itself, right? Like, if it's a summer dress, is it made out of like 80% super clingy rayon? Like, then this doesn't make sense, you know? Like,
can we pause for 1 second? Yes. I would love, can we do a whole episode on just fabrics, like a masterclass in fabrics?
Yes. Sina, you should lead that one because you're a designer. Yes, that would be so good.
We should do that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be, I think people would love that because I get questions about fabric. So that's a huge one, like an appropriate fabric for the garment. And then I always flip it inside out, like to make sure the seams are straight and that they're finished. You can tell sometimes if they're like handmade, which is kind of cool, but you can also tell if it's just like a seam that was finished, like if there's threads coming out and if it's wonky and like there's like all those things, like making sure the patterns line up. Although even now, like there's designer pieces out there where the pattern doesn't even line up anymore. And it's like, I don't know. Sina, you're a designer. What do you look for from that lens?
No, I would say I pretty much agree with you. Like, but it depends on what kind of piece I'm looking for. Because sometimes, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I both buy stuff that are like high quality, but I certainly also sometimes buy, you know, I bought like a blue flannel jacket for this this year, like a, just like an overshirt, like now for autumn.
Oh, Seattle. Which is, love it.
Yeah,
I think I saw it. That jacket. It's cute.
I wear it all the time. I just know I'm going to get so much wear out of it. And it's made in like, it's not a very nice fabric. It's from a fast fashion brand.
Yeah.
But it's nice and the color is nice. And I think it looks pretty okay. Like it could definitely have been done better. And the composition of the fabric could definitely, like there's a bit of acrylic in there. And I would have loved for that not to be part of the thing. But it's, you know, sometimes it's... I'll compromise a little bit, I guess, with quality if I feel like it still feels somewhat durable and feels like you said, Alyssa, I really like that approach that the composition still somewhat feels right for the garment and for the season that you would wear it in. And I do feel like it makes sense with this piece. So yeah, I both buy like fast fashion brands, but it's still, and I buy like higher quality pieces too, like from designer brands and mid-range brands. It kind of depends on what needed it's like it's fulfilling for me. And if it's, again, if it's something I have on my list, and there are like other criteria there too, like the color is really important and definitely. Otherwise, like I'm pretty picky, especially with fabric. Like even if I buy something from new, like I'm very picky with fabric. Like I can't remember the last time actually I bought something with such a high level of like synthetic fibers in it as that jacket I just mentioned. So it's kind of important for me to have like a natural composition, like for the most part, because I just find it a lot more comfortable and
Do you find that for your secondhand or vintage pieces, do you ever take them to the tailor?
Yeah, almost I actually always. Just dropped off a few pieces last week, which
I'm going this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm actually supposed to pick mine up. I don't think I'll have time to do that today. But yeah, I dropped off a pair of, it was both like some older pieces I already had, but then there was also a blazer I bought secondhand a couple of years ago, just from it was from And Other Stories, but the Atelier range. So I feel like the quality was a little bit higher than you would normally expect from And Other Stories, but the fit was a little bit like, I never really settled with, it has like really big shoulders. So I just wanted her to take off a little bit of the weight around the length of the shoulder there so that they wouldn't drop as far down on my arm. So I'm pretty excited to see how that turned out. But yeah, I would gladly do that. I know a lot of people would be like, is it even worth it? Couldn't you just like buy a new piece? But I mean, that's what we're trying to keep the conversation about, right? About switching how we approach clothes and the value we put into clothing. I think it's so much more than just thinking about what's the easiest, or I don't know.
Even when you buy it for the first time, like there's money that you can, that you'll have to consider putting into it afterwards. Like if it's dry clean only, or if you need to take it to the tailor. Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Sina, are you able to tell easily what garments either can even be tailored? Or like, when is it like, okay, no, this is a lost cause. Like, I can't. Like, when is it, like, how can you tell when a garment is able to be altered?
Obviously, I'm not a seamstress. I know, like, basic sewing skills, because you need to know that when you study to become a designer, you need to know what's possible and what's not possible when you're, like, constructing the garment.
Yes,
but but the only thing I know is that, and I've said this recently on, like, a post I did on on Instagram. Like, I just know that you should never discard something based on your own knowledge. So yeah. If you don't have the skills, then go ask someone who does.
Fully.
Yeah. Also, because it's like, I had a jacket where it's like, okay, I feel like it's a little bit slouchy. Could we do something with the length here? But then it had mm-hmm. patch pockets and I was not sure if it's going to look weird. And I was like, you know what? I'm mm-hmm. just going to bring it to the tailor and yeah. see what she has to say. Like, she's got more creativity knowledge. And all that than I do. So maybe she'll yeah. have a good idea. And she did. So I think obviously there's a difference between tailors. Like, you will definitely find yeah. good and bad ones there as well. The one that we have where I live is really, really good. She's really talented. She makes like tailor-made suits from the bottom wow. as well. So I know she's really skilled. But I think it's just always worth giving it a shot. Like, you, no one says you have to move forward with it, but just get a second opinion and ask, like, is this possible? Like, can we mm-hmm. do something about this piece? Especially if you don't have the imagination or the skill yeah. yourself.
To be able to see beyond what the garment is.
Yeah, yeah. But I like how, I think you've mentioned that before, Alyssa, that you, mm-hmm. when you buy something, especially, not necessarily from new, right? But also when you buy something secondhand, that you always fully. Think about if this is, if you're able to like alter it.
Fully, yeah. yeah.
Do you have something oftentimes. You look for there? Like, do you have any, is it like this, the inseams mm-hmm. you're looking for or what kind of?
Yeah, I always look, if it's a skirt or anything, like I always look for like a seam allowance on the hem, because when trends change, it's often like the hemline is the first thing to change on a pant or on a skirt or on a dress. So I look for that. And then that's usually the biggest thing. Yeah, that's usually the biggest seam allowance.
Yeah,
I guess everywhere, even more than just on the hem, like seam allowance is a bit, because that's what you know, they'll have more leeway to work with and things like that. And even like, I try and find like with less deep, like fewer pockets, or if there is a pocket, like, can you open it? All those little things. Like, I find the more sort of the less complicated the garment is, the easier it will be to alter it. But yeah, seam allowance is the biggest.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, I think.
I just want to add, please don't ever tailor your vintage denim.
Oh, very good.
Just embrace the fit. If it's a bit big, yes. use a belt. It's part of it. It's part of the vibe. It's part cool. It. Cuff it, or like get the tailor if you're going to do the length to do. What's that hem, like where they preserve the bottom hem?
Yes. I forget what that's called.
Yeah. But like.
But keep the hem.
Yes. Please.
Mm, yeah. 100%.
Oh my God. I've done like how to alter Levi's jeans, vintage Levi's jeans in the past. But it's because it's been such a.
Oh, I've been burned, know. Man. I've been burned. I've had a beautiful pair butchered, and I'm just like, okay, yeah. fine. I'm just going to embrace that it's a little bit too big. It's part of the vibe. I would
say maybe like more generally, don't alter something if you don't have the skill. Like, not to say anything or, yeah. but like, don't ruin a piece of garment if you don't have the skill. Like, certainly mm-hmm. practice, but there's a risk yeah. of you like ruining the garment too, as you're saying. Yeah. So. I think it's fine to practice and being able to do it yourself. And I definitely do. Like, I have altered a lot of clothing myself in the past, and I still will, but only to a certain extent, because I know there's a risk of it like getting ruined.
Yeah, you can't go back.
Yeah, no. True. Yeah, it's true.
I think it's like, don't make the garment something it's not. Like, I wouldn't, do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's where you remember, like, you learn to draw the line. Like, it's like, am I trying to turn this garment, like, am I actually like, looking for something else, or it's like, is this just need a couple tweaks to make it fit better or to update it? I think that's usually like, yeah, like if you have to put too much into it, then it's like, then just don't buy the thing.
Like, if it's way too, like, too many sizes too big, for example, like, that's, yeah, then you're talking about like reconstructing the garment pretty much from scratch.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
taking yes. it in like a few inches here and there. Yes.
Yeah.
It's yeah. But if subtle. It's, yeah, it has to make sense still. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah just to and get like, back to you asked like before, if yeah. I would ever say admit like defeat on something, and definitely in a case like that, or if I just realize, well, maybe this is not my style anymore. Yeah. So maybe it's better I pass it on to someone who could use that instead of me trying to change it into something it will never be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys have a problem with, like, I have no problem with with, say, buying something that only costs $10 and then putting $50 into tailoring for it. Like,
I've done that.
I know a lot, right?
Yeah, like, I've done that with a leather jacket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same. Mm.
I think leather tailoring is like far more expensive than that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Right? I agree.
Because you're going to wear it, right? Like, if you're going to someone who's reputable and, yeah, maybe I spent like, $20, $30, $40 on this, and then you invest $100 to $150 when it comes to leather tailoring. Mm-hmm. This was for a jacket, but it's like, I wear that jacket all the time now. Mm. And so it's actually
worth it.
At the end of the day, maybe less expensive than buying a new jacket from scratch, mm-hmm. even. So
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
But the other thing I want to ask, do you guys ever check out the men's section? Because I find it's in many ways so much. Okay, specifically for denim, blazers, and button-ups.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on the men's section.
Never. Definitely. Yeah. Completely agree.
Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't mention that. I always check men's. And it's lower priced. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, at least in thrift stores, it's usually like a couple dollars cheaper.
Oh. More pink tax, man. Like, there's so many things for that.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, good call. Thank you, Christina. Yes, always men's. Oh, even shoes. I've looked for like a pair of size 7 men's like loafers. Mm. I have not found them, but if you're like a 9 or 10 women's, you can get like a really cool pair of men's loafers. Mm. Very cool.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to talk about before we go is, how do you avoid impulse buying at the thrift, or do you allow yourself room to do that? I know you said you have your wild card, but I think one of the biggest things about the thrift store, especially like if you're going to the Goodwill bins and all of that, or like garage sales markets, it's so cheap. It's so easy to just buy something and either call it a throwaway purchase or to be like, this is one of a kind, I can't let it go, plus it is so cheap. So how, and then that becomes a risk of over accumulation and, you know, too much stuff. I've definitely done that myself. So how do you set boundaries when you're shopping at the thrift?
It's too hard. I'm sorry. Answer that question.
I mean,
or do you, I'm or do kidding. You, because like, like, you know, maybe this is where you allow yourself the freedom to impulse buy, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
If we're speaking from a budget perspective. Mm. So, but budget consumption, like anything, is there anything that you do to make it very mindful?
I give it like all, okay, so I do like edits, or this is what I used to do. Like, now I find, you just know, like, I find the more you thrift, the more time you spend among these beautiful treasures, you just know. Like, you're like, no, I did not. But when, sometimes if you go a little wild, I'll have everything in the change room, and say I have like 4 or 5 tops or something, I just stand there and I just edit. I just, like, it's almost as though like I'm doing a regular edit in my closet, but I'm just editing. So I give it another pass. I'll walk around the store again. Like, sometimes I'll have them in my cart and I'll just think about it and I'll stare at them and I'll be like, okay, no, you know what? You go back. And then I'll give the store another pass, another walkthrough, or I'll go be in the change room and I'll try them all on, every single one. Like, it's slow. Everything takes time, but I allow myself to be like, okay, every time. So by the time you've gone through that edit, that 5 pieces gets whittled down to like 1 or 2. And you're like, okay, these are the 2 I'm actually going to go home with. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like I have to spin it. And this is tough when you're traveling, because chances are you're not going to be in the same place, right? Like, you've discovered this cute little gem in this cute little neighborhood that, like, you're not going to go back there. Like, you know this, right? So I'll exit, I'll find a cafe, or I'll find something, like, whatever, go to a park nearby, and then go back. But usually I find, if I treat it like as if I were editing like a magazine spread or something like that, like, I'll really be like, no, okay, now I'm an editor. Or like, I picture myself like, now I'm editing my, like, what's superfluous? Like, what, do you know what I mean? Like, for myself, for my style, for my closet, for my life. It's like, does this add value? Like, really? And I just try and try and try. over and over until I eliminate. And I usually, I make, I don't know if it's like something, I've never thought of this, but I know that I hate the word should, but I know I'll be upset with myself if I leave with all of the pieces. Like, I just know. So mm-hmm. the goal of that editing session is like, I know I'm not done if mm-hmm. all of those pieces are still in the change room. Like, I know I'm not done. So I have to leave with fewer than what I went in with.
Mm. I like that policy.
That makes, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never regretted it. Like, here's the thing. Oh, here's the other thing. Sorry. Now I'm on a roll. I think I had too much tea. I'm so sorry. Here's the other thing that I always, always keep in mind when I'm thrifting is like, okay, you will never, okay, or maybe not. I've never regretted not buying something because you want to know something. A, there's more to life. Okay. Like mm-hmm. I'm not saying fashion is frivolous. We've had this conversation. I love style, but there are so many clothes on the planet. It is mathematically impossible that I will not find something else that I love as much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to walk out of that store. Sure. Maybe it was cute. Maybe it would have filled a gap, but like, really, am I going to regret this for the next 2 years? No, because there are too many clothes on the planet for mm-hmm. that to even be an issue.
Mm.
Sorry. The end. I'm done.
Well said.
Thank you. We're just going to end this right here. Okay. Goodbye, everyone. I'm just kidding. Sorry. I feel like that I was very.
No, heated. That's.
I
think it's good that you're being very thoughtful about it. And I think that, again, it's really key, especially, you know, because secondhand shopping can be wasteful too. And I think a lot of people mm-hmm. approach it with a mindset of, well, then I can just be frivolous with my spending because it's secondhand and right. it's good for the environment. And it's like it's really black and white, but you know, it comes with a downside too. So I think it's really good that you are being mindful about even in that area of
thrifting.
Like, yeah.
I wasn't before though. Like, my mom and I would come home from Value Village, like, and we would have huge bags, right? We would have so many things. And like, I remember we were like, but it's secondhand and it wasn't expensive. So it's like, it's a dangerous combination.
Yeah.
When something feels sustainable, quote unquote, and when it's also inexpensive.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you're getting completely the same agree. High that you would from fast fashion.
True, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like for me, it also becomes like a clutter problem too because you still got to take it home, put it somewhere, store it somewhere, clean it.
Exactly.
Sure, there's no bugs in
get
it.
Get rid of it if you don't want it anymore, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so there's still an energy cost or some kind of cost afterwards, even if it was
cheap.
I
love that.
Yeah.
Is that one of your boundaries, would you say, Christine? Is that how you like mentally kind of shift?
Yeah, for me, or like, because I find the cost of things, especially at places that were historically affordable, like your Goodwill and your Value mm-hmm. Village, like they're inflating prices. Like, and I found this like leather trench coat that was super cool, but it fit me perfect. It was awesome. But there were two reasons that I left it. One, because of the price. I really felt like I wanted to be paying maybe like $20 to $30 for it because of just that's what I'm used to paying. Like, I'm not used to paying like $50, $60, $100 at the thrift store, especially like that. Like, these are clothes that are meant to be like the whole point of like the thrift shop is to move inventory, right? And I just feel like they're now kind of jacking up prices where it's almost similar to retail. Now the price of this, I made a TikTok about it. So the price of this jacket, they wanted like $55. And in the moment I was like, that's still too much. That's more than I'm willing to pay for this right now for a jacket that I'm probably going to wear. That was the second reason, not that often. Like, it was a cool like statement piece. It was like very Matrix and like interesting. And actually now I'm like, I have like a little twinge of regret because I'm seeing a lot of like really cool long line leather trenches. And I'm like, well, you know, whatever. Like, but I was okay. Like, I was not comfortable enough to walk away from it and just like set that boundary because I just know I don't have the space or space is a commodity in like a small Toronto apartment, you know? And two, I just knew it was going to be like a one-off piece that I wasn't going to wear that much. So I felt comfortable walking away from it. Now, if I feel later on that I want a leather trench, yes, there is an abundance of them that we could find elsewhere later. So it's like, it's all good. It's just, but like when it fits like a glove, you're like, that's really hard to like walk away from.
Fully.
Yeah. But,
good
yeah,
for you.
I think it's just saying like there, like how you say, like there will always be something. So
else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sina, boundaries that you put in place for yourself?
I think, again, like just basically sticking to the list. And I think for me, like working with a specific color palette and working with some specific key style keywords, like all the things we've talked about before, has really helped me set healthy like boundaries for myself. I know a lot of people, especially if you have more of a creative approach to style and fashion, feel like it's like limiting yourself or like pigeonholing yourself. But to me, it's a really great way to learn like keeping like boundaries for myself and staying focused on what I'm actually looking for. And I feel like I can benefit from that also when I'm shopping secondhand. And I think you could probably do the same practice as you would like when you're approaching sales, like just because something is cheaper, like would I buy this if it was like full price? Then you know, you can kind of ask yourself in that situation. I know that secondhand, like a part of the whole thing is also because it's cheaper, and but I think from a consumption perspective, maybe it's a good exercise like to ask yourself, if this was like a full price item, would I then buy it, or am I just intrigued by it because it's so cheap? And it's like a bargain.
Great question.
Yeah.
That's totally a really good question to ask yourself.
But other than that, I would treat it exactly as I would if I were buying like stuff from new. Like I would give it time. I would make sure that it is like merchable with what I already have. All those, the same things that I would do in a normal buying situation.
Yeah.
So
let us know below what some of your best thrifting tips, what you look for when you're thrifting. Sharing is caring, so leave us a comment. Thank you so much for listening, for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Ciao.
Bye.
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 Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you.
We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!